Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz and Shlomo Ben Avraham, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have three subjects we want to cover on the program this week. The first is a discussion of the Passover holiday, Chag HaMatzot, which means the holiday of Matzot, Chag HaPesach. We want to discuss that, at least review some of the important aspects of the holiday that you won't hear anywhere else. And the other two things we want to discuss, Bibi Netanyahu always protects the extreme left Supreme Court of Israel, always prevents any attempt to change the extreme left Supreme Court of Israel. And the third subject we want to discuss, Germany, which murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, is now funding openly anti-Semitic organizations. Let's start out with Passover. We're now in the midst of the Passover holiday, Chag HaPesach, a beautiful holiday that I absolutely love. I love all the Jewish holidays, but Passover especially, Pesach especially, is a holiday that I love. And on this holiday, there are certain things, though, that happened that Jews in our generation, in our pathetic generation, don't pay attention to. Number one, God, Hashem, struck Egypt with Eser Makot, with 10 plagues. He didn't negotiate. He didn't beg the Egyptians. He said, you either let them go or else. And there were 10 plagues that struck Egypt. And in the end, Hashem killed all the firstborn of Egypt. All the firstborn of Egypt. Collective punishment. Yes, in Judaism there is collective punishment when we have an enemy. And he killed all the firstborn of Egypt. Something which would never be acceptable to the Jews of this generation, but the creator of the universe says that that is the moral way to go when we have a cruel and evil enemy. And in Makat HaChoshech means the plague of darkness. One of the 10 plagues, Hashem created 3 days of complete darkness over Egypt. The Egyptians lived in such darkness that they couldn't see anywhere, they couldn't go anywhere. One of the things Hashem did during the plague of darkness was He killed all the Jews, all the Hebrews in Egypt that didn't want to leave Egypt, that didn't want to make Aliyah, that didn't want to go to Israel. 80% of the Jews in Egypt did not want to go to Israel, did not want to leave. They have their yeshivas in Egypt, they have their shul in Egypt, they have their businesses, it's more comfortable for them in Egypt. Going in the desert is dangerous, and Eretz Yisrael, it's dangerous, there's going to be war, we don't want to go. All the excuses. 80% did not want to leave. In the plague of darkness, Hashem killed that 80% of the Hebrews. They were all killed. Those who didn't want to go were killed. Now, why was it done in the plague of darkness? Because Hashem didn't want the Egyptians to see him killing his own people, because they would have gotten satisfaction out of that. And then they would have said, oh, you see, we're not that bad. He's killing his own as well, so his own is just as bad as us. He didn't want the Egyptians to be able to get any satisfaction out of that. And so he did in the plague of darkness so the Egyptians wouldn't see it. But the 80% of the Hebrews in Egypt who refused to go were killed. So in other words, the story of Passover is make Aliyah or face death. And it's the same thing we had in the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, the overwhelming majority of European Jews were murdered. Hashem Yikom Damam, may God avenge their blood. And they didn't want to make Aliyah either. If they had pushed for a Jewish state and they had supported Jabotinsky when he was pushing for a Jewish state before the war, before the Holocaust, if they had supported his efforts, if the Jews of Europe really had pushed and supported his efforts, there would have been a Jewish state and there would not have been a Holocaust. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Hungary, all these anti-Semitic governments in Eastern Europe were ready to arm and fund and back Jewish freedom fighters to throw the British out of the land of Israel. They were ready to back them because Jabotinsky went to them and said, look, you don't want the Jews here. You hate the Jews. You don't want the Jews here. He told all the all the anti-Semitic leaders of those countries in Eastern Europe. Help us, we'll create a Jewish state, and you'll get rid of your Jewish problem. All the Jews will go to the Jewish state. They supported it. The Polish army did train Jews, and did arm Jews, and try and help the Jews in their battle against the British. We're helping the Jews before the Nazis conquered Poland. Even though the Polish government and Poland are the most vicious Nazi Jew-hating regime and not the worst Jew-haters. And yet, they helped the Jews because they were Jew-haters, because they figured that this is how they would get rid of their Jews. If the Jews in Europe and the Jews around the world had backed Jabotinsky's efforts, there definitely would have been a Jewish state. There definitely would not have been a Holocaust. We could have prevented all of this tragedy. Can you imagine a Jewish state with those 6 million Jews who were having a lot of babies, by the way? They were having big families. Can you imagine if those 6 million Jews had lived and all of them went to Israel and were having a lot of babies? Can you imagine what Israel would look like today? But the Jews did not want to leave. And just like in the time of Pesach, because the rabbis, Chazal, compare the first redemption, the first Geulah, the first redemption was during Pesach, when we were in Egypt, when we were slaves in Egypt, and the final redemption before the coming of the Mashiach. We are now living in the days of the final, we're living in Acharit HaYamin, in the end of days. The final redemption, the first redemption are going to have a lot of similarities, and that's one of the similarities. Those who didn't want to go, the vast majority of those who didn't want to go to Israel, before the creation of the State of Israel, were killed in the Holocaust. Well, of course, it's terrible that they were killed. We wanted to do everything we could to save them. But tragically, this is the price that's paid. This is the price that's paid. When Hashem says the time has come for redemption, we have to do what he says or face terrible consequences. Whether you like it or not, or agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. God controls the world, and that is what he wants. And in America, we have a spiritual Holocaust. The American Jews are even in worse shape than the European Jews, because European Jews, okay, the Germans murdered their bodies, but their souls, maybe many of them, their souls will live on in the next world. American Jews who intermarry and assimilate and have nothing and don't have any aspect of anything Jewish in their lives, and who don't even want to be part of the Jewish people, American Jews will have no place in the next world if they're part of that assimilationist. If they're part of the assimilationists, they will have no place in the next world. And so their souls for eternity will be destroyed. That's much worse than having your body destroyed in this world, because this is a temporary world. The next world is permanent. The fact is that the story of Passover is a story where we had to go to Israel. We were not allowed to stay in Egypt. We were not allowed to stay in the Galut. And then, of course, we have the story of the Red Sea. Again, the Red Sea. Kriyat Yam Suf, the splitting of the Red Sea, the other miracle. What did Hashem do to the Egyptian army? He drowned all of them. He killed all of them. Collective punishment, destroyed them completely. He didn't make them surrender, make them prisoners of war, give them their rights, read them their rights under the Geneva Convention. He killed them all. They wanted to kill the Jews. He killed them. That's Jewish justice. That's the Torah way. And of course, we could go on and on in explaining the great miracles that happened. Because of shortage of time, I mean, I could do a program on Pesach that would easily go on for 100 hours because of all the important things that happened during this very important holiday, and all the things we can learn for our day, because all of this is relevant to today. All of this is relevant to today. The things that happened to us in the past are relevant to today and relevant to the future. If you don't learn from the past, you will not be able to face the future and confront the future and do what has to be done in the future. You have to learn the lessons of the past. That's the whole reason why we have history. But these are stories you won't hear from your local rabbi, and the stories you won't hear, especially if your local rabbi himself doesn't make aliyah, and your local rabbi himself doesn't want to offend the people in his congregation who are not making aliyah, and your local rabbi wants to be politically correct, as 99% of the rabbis today want to be. So it's pathetic. This is a pathetic generation. By the way, the fact that this is a pathetic generation, all of that was predicted. Chazal told us that the generations before the coming of the Mashiach would be evil. Would be evil, would be immoral, would be terrible. All of this was predicted, all of this was foretold. It's playing out exactly as it was foretold. People who don't believe are blind. Blind! Where do you get a situation like this? Where all of these things happen exactly as they were foretold. Exactly as they were foretold. And still, the Jews don't learn and don't wake up and still walk around in blindness. Tragic, tragic. And JTF is so necessary to wake the Jews up. We've got to wake the Jews up in Israel first. They're more important. The Jews in Israel are much more important than the Jews outside of Israel. Because Israel is where the redemption will come. And if you help, at least you'll be able to say, if you help us, you'll be able to say, well, listen, I'm helping to wake up other Jews. That's a big zchut, that's a big merit. If you say, if you help JTF and we reach other Jews and we save other Jews and wake up other Jews and bring the truth to other Jews, that's a tremendous merit that you have if you help us with that. That's the story of Passover. At least the very a very shortened version because of the shortage of time that we have. Bibi Netanyahu always blocks every attempt to change the left, the Supreme Court in Israel. 95% of the judges on the Supreme Court in Israel are always from the extreme left. The extreme left. I mean, literally, the judges in Israel are literally anti-Semites. They will literally order that Jews be thrown out of their homes, but not Arabs. That Jews, that things that are done to Jews, never, you can't do it to an Arab, though. I mean, it's literally a regime in Israel with an anti-Semitic double standard. And Bibi Netanyahu, the so-called right-wing prime minister, he prevents any attempt to change the Supreme Court. By the way, Israel, with a simple Knesset majority, can literally throw all the Supreme Court judges out. Throw them all out and replace them. They're there under Israeli law in a court by Knesset vote. The Knesset can just throw them out and say, that's it. We want judges who are honest and loyal and who are true to the Jewish people. They can do that with a simple Knesset majority. Bibi Netanyahu would never do that. Never. He protects the Supreme Court. He wants a left-wing Supreme Court because he really is a leftist, because he's a coward and he doesn't want to throw the illegal aliens out of Israel. So what he does is he says, I want to throw them out, but the Supreme Court doesn't let me. He says, I want to deal with the Arab terrorists, but the Supreme Court doesn't let me. I don't want to free thousands of Muslim terrorist mass murderers, but the Supreme Court forces me. I want to let Jews settle all over Israel, but the Supreme Court doesn't let me. I want to destroy the tens of thousands of illegal Arab homes that are being built all over Israel, and the Israeli government doesn't touch them, but the Supreme Court doesn't let me. I want to do all of these things. I want to have Jewish education with Jewish values in the schools, but the Supreme Court doesn't let me. I don't want to have same-sex marriages and gay this and, you know, all of these, have all of this introduced into Israeli life. I don't want to have all of these things in Israeli life, but I have to follow what the Supreme Court says. He's a liar. He does want to do the politically correct things because he's a coward. He doesn't want to do anything that involves even an ounce of courage. He's a low-life coward. And so he wants a left-wing Supreme Court because he leans on that, and the dumb Jews in Israel believe him. They're, well, listen, he wants to do it, but the Supreme Court doesn't let him. And Naftali Bennett, the same story. Naftali Bennett from the so-called Jewish Home Party. Same story. He's also supposed to be a big right-winger. He's the guy who said 99.9% of the Arabs in Israel are loyal to the state of Israel. 99.9% of the Arabs are loyal to Israel. Muslims. Muslims who pray five times a day for the destruction of the Jewish people are loyal to the state of Israel, according to Naftali Bennett. Muslims in Israel who vote, 95% of them vote for the Arab parties who openly call for Israel's destruction. He says they're loyal to Israel. Parties in the Arab parties, all the Arab Knesset members in Arab parties, openly praise Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, all the terrorist organizations that say that the Jews should be wiped off the face of the earth, that have murdered thousands of innocent Jewish men, women, and children. He says, no, they're loyal to Israel. That's supposed to be the right winger, Naftali Bennett. This shows how sick the situation is, how desperate it is that there be a voice of truth, a voice of common sense, a voice of reality for a change in Israel. And that's what JTF is. That's what our videos are. Only Moshe Feiglin from the Zehut Party wants to change the Supreme Court system. Now he proposes, I would go further than him. I would just say you just vote them out and put good Jews in. You should put real good Jews in. I would put rabbis on the Supreme Court. Rabbis from Judea and Samaria, not these wimpy so-called rabbis. I'm talking about rabbis from Judea and Samaria who, and not Yesha Council traitors. I'm talking about real rabbis like Harav Dov Lior. I would put them on the Supreme Court. Why not? Under Israeli law, the Knesset has the power to do all of these things. If you can put left-wing traitors on the court all these years, why not put loyal, scholarly, great Jews on the Supreme Court? That's what I would do. But anyway, Feiglin proposes something else. If he proposed that, I don't know if they'd let him run for the Knesset, because Israel's a dictatorship in many ways. He proposes elections. He says, let the people elect Supreme Court justices, Supreme Court judges in Israel, the way you have elections for courts in the states here in the U.S. We don't have elections on the federal level for the courts, but we have elections, for instance, New York State. You elect your judges in New York State. And he proposes that we do the same thing in Israel. That would be a tremendous improvement, because the people are not going to vote for extreme left judges in Israel, and the judges would be concerned that they have to run for re-election. They would be concerned, and their rulings would reflect that concern. So that would be a tremendous improvement. That's what Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party propose. It's one of the reasons why we're supporting Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party whenever the next elections are held. They could be held later this year, or they could be held next year, depending on how long this government lasts. At the latest, it'll be next year. But it could be held. They could be held later this year. And the third final subject I want to bring up is Germany. Over 100,000 Jewish traitors live in Germany today. Live in Germany, the nation that murdered over 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. The nation that since the creation of Israel has not stopped for one moment in its campaign to assist in every way possible the Arab Nazis that want to perpetrate another Holocaust against the Jewish people. They have not changed. The children and the grandchildren of the Nazis that murdered the 6 million, who are the new generation of Germans, they're doing the same thing, except they want the Arabs to do the dirty work for them this time. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They want the Arabs to do the dirty work for them. Germany was defeated in the war. They have no choice but to accept the fact that they were defeated in that war. And so they can't openly proclaim themselves as Nazis again. It wouldn't be good for business. It wouldn't be good for Germany. So what they do is they claim that they've changed, that they're not Nazis anymore, but they support the new Nazis, the Arab Muslim Nazis that want to perpetrate a Holocaust. And Germany today, the German government, the official German government, is funding anti-Semitic, openly anti-Semitic organizations. Organizations that speak about the Jews the way Hitler and the Nazis did during the Holocaust. They're funding these groups. And it's not just Germany, it's the European Union, which means France, Britain, all these other countries in Europe who also had a hand in the murder of 6 million Jews. They're all doing this. And we have an Israeli prime minister and Israeli leaders and American Jewish leaders who get down on their hands and knees and beg the Europeans for their support and allow these German Nazi pigs to tell us, well, you can't build in Judea and Samaria, you're not being humane to the so-called Palestinians. Of course, there are no Palestinians. It's a complete lie and a complete hoax. But you're not being humane to the Arabs in Israel, and you're not allowed to defend yourself. Germany lectures Israel on morals. Germany, that murdered 6 million of our people, they're giving us moral lectures, these beasts? And we have Israeli leaders that tolerate this. We need real Jewish leaders for a change. That would be Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, if we had a real leader who said, you filthy Nazi pigs, how dare you? You're going to lecture us? You murdered 6 million of our brothers and sisters? And you, the most immoral, cruel, vicious, evil people that perpetrated the worst crimes in human history, you're going to lecture us when we defend ourselves and try to prevent another Holocaust, which you would love to see happen? That's what you need a leader to say. That would be Kiddush Hashem. That would be sanctifying God's name. Right now we have Pippi and Bennett and Avigdor Lieberman And these other leaders, they're all Chilul Hashem. They're desecrating God's name because they're cowards. They're ghetto Jews and they're cowards. They're a disgrace to the Jewish people. You know, even though it was the Passover holiday week, we had over 12,000 views just on the 20 paid the videos that we're advertising. We have videos on that we're advertising in Hebrew, and we had over 12,000 views this week, just this week, over 12,000 views on the ones we were advertising. Plus, we get other views. We get quite a few other views, substantial number of other views on the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos that we have where we're not advertising. So we're reaching every month tens of thousands of Israeli Jews with our message. We're now reaching tens of thousands every month with our message. Baruch Hashem, thank God. But we want to reach more, and we want to do more. You can help. You can help us. We need your financial support as much as you can help us with. The more you help us, the more people we can reach. And we need you to spread the word about JTF and make us as strong as possible so that we can get the job done. So that we can do what has to be done to try to wake up as many Jews as possible in the land of Israel. That's what we're trying to do. That's where the action is. That's the most important thing you could be doing in our generation, in our time. That's the most important thing you could be doing. We're told that in the end, the holiday of Passover and many of the other mitzvot are going to be canceled. The word is canceled in Hebrew. Levatel is to cancel. Not that they'll literally be canceled, not that we'll literally forget the holiday of Passover when the Mashiach comes and when there's a final redemption. We're not going to forget what happened to us when we were slaves in Egypt. But the miracle of what is happening to us now will be so great that what happened to us in Egypt will be almost minor in comparison. In Egypt, we were liberated from one country, Egypt. In this redemption that we've seen in our lifetime, the Jews were liberated from 150 or 160 countries. They came from all over the world. Just like they promised, Hashem says He'll fish us out of all four corners of the earth and bring us from the four corners of the earth into the land of Israel. This is an incredible, breathtaking miracle. After 2,000 years of being without a homeland, Hashem brings us back. Hashem makes the land that was like a desert, that was like was a malaria-ridden swamp on the coast, and inward it was like a desert. Nothing grew there in order to prevent other nations and other people from developing the land, so that the land would stay there and wait for the Jewish people to return. And 20 centuries later, all of a sudden, the land starts prospering again and becomes lush and becomes like a garden again. And we don't see this, and we come back exactly when there are 600,000 Jews in Israel. Shishim ribo, we were told shishim ribo, you need 600,000 Jews. The Vilna Gaon and others say you needed exactly 600,000 Jews for there to be in Israel, had to live in Israel for there to be a Jewish state. And when there were when we reached the 600,000 Jews in 1948, a Jewish state comes and is created again. I mean, you got to be blind not to see this. What it says in the Bible, what it says in the Torah is true, and the Jewish people are the proof of that. And we have to be part of that process of redemption, and we have to be part of that process of telling the truth, and we have to be part of that process of waking people up before it's too late. We have to be part of that process. Great things can happen if only the people wake up in time. Whether they wake up in time or not, we have to be sure that we did everything we could to wake them up. That's our job. That's why we were put in this world. That's the real reason why you were born. That's the real reason for your life, for your existence. That's why you're here. That's the real reason why you're here. Help us. Let's fight together. If we fight together, we can change history and make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.